You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 5, Episode 14 coming your way this evening. Kieran, John and Gary on duty once again. And it should be a rather short and snappy show for once, lads, because we've only got the previews to cover this week. It was the mid-season break last week. For any of our listeners that didn't check out last week's show, we did have a show during the mid-season break and I actually really enjoyed listening back to it. We gave our report cards for all 20 teams in the division so far. So all three of us gave our thoughts on how every team has performed up until this stage of the season. And we had an interview with Colin Byrne, who last week, of course, announced his retirement from the League of Ireland. And we had some interesting audio from Stephen O'Donnell and Jim McGilton as well. So if you haven't checked out last week's show, I'd highly recommend doing it before you even start this week's one. But on this week's show, as I said, we've got previews as the league gets back underway, both the Premier and First Division. We'll look ahead to those games. And we've got an interview with James Duna of Athlone Town and with Vinnie Fatterty, formerly of Galway. And Vinnie gives us his thoughts on Galway, because I think, lads, we were quite strong on Galway on the show last week. They've had what we would feel is a very disappointing start. So we wanted to get a Galway perspective this week. And Vinnie Fatterty was very, very good with his time. So looking forward to airing that interview a little bit later on. But John, how are you doing tonight?
Very good, mate. Looking forward to previewing the only football that counts this weekend, mate.
Yeah, and Gary, I meant to say this on last week's show, but I cannot understand why the break wasn't this week. The Euros start on Friday. There was basically no club football all over Europe last week. A great opportunity for people from outside the league to watch some of the streams, perhaps. But no, we're restarting the night the European Championships gets underway. Crazy.
Yeah, sure. Look, it's another addition to the long list of crazy decisions by the FAI in the league. But it's not new, I suppose, is it?
Maybe it had to do with the fact that Watch LOI, I suppose, the contract, you want to say, had expired. But I'm sure another week wouldn't have done any harm. But look, I suppose we're nitpicking at this stage. Let's get stuck straight into the meat and bone of this tonight, lads. We'll start with the Premier Division games this weekend. And I'll go to you, John, first for your thoughts on Derry City against Bohemians.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to this one because both teams have really, really improved in recent weeks. We talked about Derry improving under Higgins and Bo's rapidly improving midfield and maturing midfield. So this should be a belter. Two teams really in form. And to be honest, I found it quite difficult to separate the two. So I think there'll be goals in it. And I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
John goes for a 2-2 draw. Gary, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same myself. You know, Derry are running really well at the minute. And, you know, they've improved a lot. You know, they're nearly a new team since Rory Higgins took over. And, of course, Bo's, they're in a great vein of form at the moment. I don't think they'll be that high scoring, though, to be honest. I think, we've all kind of had our eyes on the transfer window for Derry's perspective. So I think keeping the ship tight for Derry would be the order of the day here. So 1-1 for me.
Yeah, well, I was tempted to go along that kind of thinking as well, but I've actually matched John's prediction there. I've gone 2-2 myself. As John said, he summed it up really nicely. Two rapidly improving teams after disappointing starts. And it's just interesting, I suppose, lads, who has the scope for more improvement? We know Bo's qualified for Europe last year and they're currently outside of the European places. So you'd imagine they'll have their eyes on getting back into Europe and picking up the kind of form we saw towards the end of last year. But from Derry, we kind of expected them to struggle at the start of the year. They did. Now Rory Higgins has come in, they've got a bit of momentum going and we're probably expecting a good bit of movement there in July, whereas Bo's might add one or two maybe, but I think they'll probably work with what they have for now. But they have got Europe coming up as well, so maybe they will need to add a little bit too. But who do you see finishing higher this season? Will it be Derry or Bo's? I'll go to you first, John.
Well, I'm definitely going to go for Bo's on this one because I think the difference is the both started the team with season with a very, very inexperienced side, especially around the midfield, like we talked about. And that midfield is really coming into its own now. You look at Burton and the likes, and they're really playing well. So I think both have definitely the greater potential, and the further the season goes on, the better I expect them to get. It was Devoy that I was looking for, the other lad in Bowes midfield, and like I say, as the more matches they get under the belt, the better they'll become. So I think they could have a very strong next half of the season.
Would you agree with that, Gary?
Yeah, I can't see Derry finishing above Bowes unless they sign someone insane. And a few, I think Derry have to make a few additions to the team to keep this, better vein of form going. But I see Bowes finishing comfortably ahead of them.
I suppose, like everything else in football, it all comes back to goals, doesn't it? Bowes, I know there's been questions about Georgie Kelly. Maybe he's just found a little bit of form in recent games. I think we've always said if they could get someone to complement Kelly, I think that the Bowes would have a good strike force on their hands. Whereas Derry brought Parkhouse back at the start of the season. For whatever reason, it hasn't happened for him. Their goal difference is quite poor. It's -4 at the moment. And that's why they're behind Dundalk on goal difference. So if Derry could get a striker in there, then you'd imagine there will be, we'll see them move up that table even further. But the big talking point at Derry at the moment, it looks like they're going to lose Will Patching, who would be somebody that would be serving up chances for maybe a potential new striker to come in there.
Do you know who they should go all out and try and get Junior back? Because that partnership was very, very good previously, the Junior Parkhouse strike force. And if Patching is going back to Dundalk, then maybe they can try and get him back either on loan for the rest of the season, or because he's certainly not pulling up any trees at Dundalk, is he?
I think he did have the opportunity to go back to Derry while Declan Devine was there, but it sounds like he was drawn to Sligo for maybe financial reasons, and he's gone to Dundalk and he hasn't really performed. So would you be welcoming the likes of a signing of Junior back to Derry, Gary?
Yes, well, like he, John said, he hasn't been pulling up any trees in Dundalk, and I don't disagree with that at all. I think he probably would be a good place to go back to. He's familiar with the place, and he's worked well with Parkhouse before, so probably a good opportunity to get a few games under his belt and get on the score sheet in a couple of games.
Yeah, look, that's just pure speculation from us, but we're just trying to see what type of players they maybe could attract to Derry. But yeah, interesting summer window ahead for them, I think, in particular. But we all go for draws in that opening game. Let's move on to Dundalk against Waterford. And since we've recorded our last show, there's been more off-field movement at Waterford. They have Lee Powers now sold the club to a new UK-based owner, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. There's been promises, it seems, in the media of a lot of firepower now in the July window, which will be crucial for Waterford, who are currently bottom of the table. As for Dundalk, we still have no manager in place, even though the league restarts on Friday. We're over 2 months on now from Filippo Giovignoli and Shane Keegan leaving the club. We discussed this last week, the absolutely crazy situation Dundalk find themselves in, still without a manager. The latest reports and rumours doing the round is that Jim McGinton's going to take this job until the end of the season, as we kind of speculated and alluded to last week on the show. And Dave Rogers is going to go in as his number two there. That's what's in the press at the moment. So what do you make of that, Gary?
Yeah, well, it's a real indictment on the state of Dundalk at the moment. Jim McGinton has been asked numerous times whether he'd like the job or whether he'll take the job, and he's flat out denied any interest in it. That's not what he was brought in to do, and so on and so on. And now here we are, was it 2 months, 3 months later, and it's looking like he's going to take the job in. It's a bit of a mess, and even that, all that stuff with Vinnie Perth as well, is he going to come back? Will he come back? Like, that's not even decided yet. As you kind of said last week,
Vinnie Perth going back to Dundalk shouldn't even be in the equation, really, should it?
No, not at all. And Vinnie Perth's, I don't know how he's even making himself available or not, hasn't come out yet and said, I've absolutely no interest in this job and don't even ring me. But look, I don't really know what's going on in the background, but it doesn't look great. And, coming into, there was a week off there that they could have done something. Very little going on and, no players coming in or out or anything like that. And they could have said, right, there's a week off, a week of training here without any game, and probably a little bit less pressure on a new manager. But that hasn't been done, and kind of just, you know, Dundalk seem to be just limping on now into the next round, into the next set of games with Magilton at the top.
John, as we kind of discussed last week, do you think this is an indictment that there was probably a lack of quality candidates applying for this Dundalk job because of all the messing that's going on in the background?
Well, Magilton himself said he'd had some, the quality candidates were superb. He must have meant himself. That's all I can put it down to, because it doesn't look like we're going to get anybody else in at Dundalk, does it? I think the Perth thing's a whole red herring. I can't believe that that would happen again, because you know, he's only quite recently gone, hasn't he, Vinnie Perth? So I don't think that was even a starter. But so I don't know. I don't know where they were looking for another manager, but it looks like it's going to be Magilton, doesn't it, till the end of the season.
Even the Dave Rogers thing as well is strange to me, because Dave's name had been linked with the job because he was coaching in the US. He has all the qualifications. He's come home now to Ireland, and he has strong family connections to the Dock, and obviously played for the club and was a fantastic player in the League of Ireland. I know Dave quite well. He's got a fantastic, really infectious personality. But if it's to be believed that he's going to go in as number two, is that Dundalk saying that we don't believe this man's ready to be number one? It's another kind of piece into the jigsaw, isn't it? It's just nothing is clear or concrete at Dundalk.
Didn't he leave the last time under a whole row as well?
When he was a player at Dundalk?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like, look, you can
Google it. 10 years ago, isn't it?
You can Google that one yourself. We won't get into it, but... I just think, as I said, if he applied for the job, which what I've been told is he did apply for the manager's job there, either he's good enough in Dundalk's eye or he's not good enough. To bring him in as number two seems a little bit strange to me. Now, I think he will be a good number two at Dundalk, because, as I said, I think his personality and kind of the experience he has within the league and everything, I think he'll be a good addition there. And you've got a bit of maybe good cop, bad cop going on with Jim Magilton. But for a club like Dundalk to be in that situation where they don't have, you know, an established manager until the end of the season. I know we mentioned last week that Magilton has managed at a high level, but he did not go into Dundalk to become the manager. He went in there as sporting director. He's on a long-term contract. And as John just said a couple of minutes ago, he had all these superb applicants, apparently. How have they ended up in this situation?
Okay, and I wonder if Neil Fenn would have gone for that one. I know he's not very popular up there, but I wonder if he's completely blotted his copybook with that spell at Cork, or whether his name would still be banded about. He was very promising at Longford, wasn't he?
I'd prefer not to speak. Let's move on to the game itself here. Dundalk against Waterford. Despite everything going on, John, you'd imagine Dundalk will have too much for Waterford.
Well, you'd think so, but again, we looked a couple of weeks at a team that were really struggling, didn't we, in Dundalk? But if Dundalk were struggling, then Waterford were really gasping for breath in this league, and I can't see them getting anything at Dundalk. Dundalk seem to have started performing a little bit better, and I think I'm going to go for a home win here, and 2-0.
Yeah, and that's what I've written down on my notepad as well, so that just leaves you, Gaz.
Yeah, I fully agree. I don't think Waterford will be able to put up much of a fight here, but I'm going to go 3-0 Dundalk.
Yeah, that's a fair assumption, I think. Let's move on. Shamrock Rovers against Finn Harps. A difficult end to the first half of the season for Shamrock Rovers with those couple of defeats, and they find themselves behind Sligo Rovers in the standings now. And I suppose Rovers' issue has been the fact they're going up against teams that are sitting in a bit of a 10-man behind the ball job, and they've struggled to break them down, and they've been relying on late goals. And I suppose the worst opponent you can go up against when you're struggling with that situation is Finn Harps, because they'd be very organised, very disciplined, and they've got a real threat on the counter this year with the likes of Adam Foley. So how do we see this one playing out, John? Do you think Rovers will come back refreshed from the mid-season break and they might blow Harps out of the water here? Or is this going to be another really tight game for Shamrock Rovers?
Yeah, well, exactly what you said first there. I think they'll come back. They'll be stung by those by not being top at the break there. They certainly will. And, you know, I think you look at Rovers and you look at Sligo, and you'd say on paper that Rovers would have the far better team. But, you know, they've dropped off top spot. But I can't see that that poor form continuing. I mean, they've sneaked a lot of matches, as we well know, don't we, with late goals and things. But I think I think Rovers are due a big win. And I've got a funny feeling that Harps might be in the way of that. And I think I'm going to go for a 3-0 win here for Rovers.
Whew, Gary, can you see that happening?
No, not at all. I think it's going to be more of the same for Rovers, because I think
this is your chance to redeem yourself with the Harps fans now, Gary. So give them a good shout here.
Well, I wouldn't mind, Gary.
Wouldn't mind any of that. Wouldn't mind any of that. I think Rovers are going to come across the same problems that they've had in a lot of the games.
Yeah.
You know, they found it very hard to break Longford down in the very first game that they played. Longford played up in Talla, and this haven't seemed to really rectify that. As games have gone on, they've suffered a couple of the defeats. Last kick of the game winner against Longford, then just before the break. I think Harps are probably the worst thing that they could come up against right now. The only kind of saving grace for them, I think, is with the fans coming back in this pilot event.
I actually haven't factored that into my thinking here.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, they're allowing 1,000 fans back into Talla
on
Friday, Kieran. I don't know if you heard that. But
he's not done the research, think, Gary, as always.
No,
not done the research. That's why he's mocking my 3-0, you know. But
yeah, no, I don't think it's going to spur them on that much. But I think they will sneak a win. I was thinking of a 1-1, and then with the fan stuff coming in, so I think they'll get a 2-1 win here.
2-1, you go. But yeah,
I think it'll be difficult for them. It could easily be a 1-1.
Yeah, I had actually 1-0 down in my notebook, but just the fans thing just kind of slipped my mind, because like we're so stuck in this thing for the last year now of no fans, and that's just the way it's been. But no, it is great to see the fans coming back this weekend, and Rovers do have that advantage, as you said, because they're in this special pilot scheme, so they get 1,000 and they get a fifth of their capacity or so. So I think that'll be a big thing for them. I think that the fans will really, really drive them on. I had 1-0 down, as I said, but I think it'll be 2-0 to Shamrock Rovers. Let's move on to Longford Town. Longford Town will have 200 spectators in against St. Pat's. And the game, of course, will be live on LOI TV, as all the games will be this weekend. So as I said last week, I'm really looking forward to seeing what the clubs can produce. So a little bit of pressure on your shoulder there, Gary. Tell us, first of all, how things are coming along in the streaming department for the clubs.
Well, from a Longford Town perspective, it's going very well. I think we're one of the few clubs that are continuing to do it by ourselves. And fans that seen our production last year, Kieran, I think they were happy enough. I know we had issues, but it's all on the LOI TV platform now, so there won't be any of those types of issues. So we're really looking forward to it. And, you know, showing what we can do. As I said, I think most other clubs in the Premier Division are getting outside media companies and stuff like that in. So it's real, you know, I'm very proud to say that, you know, we in Longford Town are continuing to do it by ourselves, and hopefully we can acquit ourselves very well. And I know you'll be on commentary with the help of God on Saturday, and hope you do a good job there as well.
Yeah, as you said, hoping we can do a good job and acquit ourselves well. And in terms of on the pitch, how will Longford acquit themselves against St. Pat's? They went down 3-0 the last time they played them, but that wasn't the whole story in that game, was it?
No, two individual mistakes really, really undone us there. And you know, you could argue we were probably the better team in the first half in that game.
Yeah.
But we've kind of alleviated or stopped those crazy mistakes that have in really bad positions that have cost us goals, and that's great to see. But at the end of the day, we haven't turned around the results yet fully. So I think the break will have done the players good. I know they've been working hard, is still in training and stuff, but just without a game week, probably would have been able to settle their minds and do a bit of relaxation and think about things in a different light. So I think Longford Town will come out in a different the front foot, as they kind of have to be now.
I
think it'll be 1-0 Longford Town.
Wow, what a prediction that is. You think Longford are going to come out from the get-go, out with the blocks and attack, like we've seen in the opening game against Derry? You don't think they'll sit in against Pats, no?
I don't see it, because, you know, Pats have been, while they've been very good, and I know they've been scoring a few goals, and they've been very mean in defence, I'm still not convinced by them. You know, to some of the mistakes that they make, and you know, that Dundalk game last time out was just mental defending in a lot of cases, and hung them out to dry, hung themselves out to dry. And I'm not saying Longford Town can exploit them in the same way that Dundalk did, But I think Longford Town will be able to hopefully do a job on them, and you know, get us off to a good start for the second half of the season.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said there in terms of that Dundalk game, because I was at, we spoke about it last week, the crazy goals they gave away, all the possession Pats have, they just didn't really do enough on the night, and they were absolutely sick to lose the game the way they did. But I think that's probably what might undo Longford here, because Pats have had the week to sit down and think about that. As I said, Stephen O'Donnell was really great. He was really cheesed off with the goals they gave away. I think there'll be a lot of work that's been probably done over the last week in terms of turning possession into real clear-cut chances and finishing them. I think that result against Dundalk will probably have focused their minds, Pats, a little bit. And as we said, the fact Longford lost 3-0 to Pats the last time without actually playing too badly, that's kind of worrying in itself, because it does show there is a gulf here in the quality of players Pats have. They're proven at this level. Longford players are still getting used to this division. They're giving it their all. They're battling. I think they'll do that again, but I think they'll go down by 2-0. So, John, what do you think?
Well, I think you're talking a lot of rubbish. I'm going with Gary on this one. I think Longford will come right out of the blocks. It's really sort of do or die, isn't it, at this stage?
It's still early days overall.
I know it is, but they're starting to fall away, themselves and Waterford. And they have to pick up some. They have to pick up some results, and I think they might catch Pats on an off day. And remember, first match of the season, Longford won. Obviously, a lot depends on Forrester and Benson. They're obviously what make Pats tick. But I think Town could be straight into this, straight at them, and I'm going to go for a 1-0 Longford Town win.
All right, fair play, man. I have to say, I like them predictions.
Come on, John.
I'm with you, Gary, on that one.
I'm going in with no expectations, so I won't be disappointed no matter what happens. But look, as Gary said, everyone involved with Longford looking forward to putting on a good show in terms of the stream. It'll be great to see familiar faces back in Bishopsgate and all the grounds as well this weekend. So let's hope I'm totally way off the mark there.
Yeah, but if you don't watch yourself, Burke, I'll just mute you. You won't be hearing from me at all.
But look, I can't be accused of bias because I've predicted against Longford there. So that's a good way to go into the commentary. Look, let's move on. The final Premier Division game before we move on to the First Division. And we're going to bring you a couple of interviews in a little while as well, so you can get a break of listening to us three. But Sligo against Drogheda. John, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, interesting one, this one, because we know how well they've done on the return to the top level. But Sligo, top of the league for a reason. They're performing well. They're scoring goals, and they're compounding everybody that we didn't think they'd be at the top, and they certainly they are, and they're ahead of Rovers. And you know, can they keep it up? I think they might win this one. I think it'll be close because Drogheda no pushovers, but I think sometimes. I think Sligo home advantage and everything, it should just about be enough. 2-1 for me, Sligo.
John goes 2-1. Yeah, I'm along the same line of thinking. I think it's going to be very, very tight. I think home advantage could be important here. Drogheda have really done very little wrong this season. We all gave them an A last week, didn't we, on our mid-season report card. And with Sligo, we did the same as well because they've surprised us the position they're in. But I think we've mentioned it a few times, Gary. Sligo just developing this little bit of steel about them this time. Maybe not as pretty on the eye as the Sligo teams of the past that won league titles, but Sligo fans won't care about that because despite the fact they are, you know, kind of steely, they've got those individual players. They've got the Figueras, they've got the Jordan Gibsons. I know they'll be missing Parks for this one, but that makes it difficult for them as well. But Johnny Kenny has stepped up to the plate this year and been a really good player. I think they'll just have enough. I think they'll win at 1-0. So I'll let you pick up on some of the points I made there.
Yeah, I think you're dead right. Gibson and Figueroa have really kind of taken a bit of a hold of this team, and you know their creativity was probably lacking before.
Yeah, they seem to bounce off each other really well. They seem to have developed a good little partnership between the two of them.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have Buckley and Baldur there behind them, kind of shoring up the whole lot. So I think it's just a great setup that they have going, and a great, you know, first team that they have. And it's, you know, it's really benefiting them. They're at the top of the table and deservedly so far in this season. So I think I'd be kind of inclined to follow John. I think you said 2-1, John, to Sligo. I don't think Drogs are, you know, they've had a great season so far. You said, Berko, we all give them A's, and deservedly so. But I think this will be not a step too far, but I think just Sligo's class individually will get them over the line.
Very good. Let's move on to the first division. We're going to speak Galway Athlone first, and then, as I said, we'll give you a break from our voices, and we'll bring you back-to-back interviews with James Doon of Athlone Town and Galway legend Vinnie Faherty, and then we'll conclude with the rest of the first division games and our predictions. So let's get stuck straight into this one. Galway against Athlone. I'll go to you first, John. Athlone, one of your teams in the first division. This is a big local derby for them.
Ah, well, I've got a different shirt on tonight. I've got my Italian shirt on tonight. So, this should be a good one, doesn't it? And it's difficult to. I was first going for a draw, but I think Galway have been that disappointing. I think Athlone might even sneak this. I fancy 2-1 to Athlone, and our guest James Dooner to get on the score sheets.
Very good. Gary, you were a little bit critical maybe before the season of James Doona, but he's certainly proven you wrong with a great start to the season. And as you'll hear in a moment's time as well, a really good chat. He seems like a good lad as well. So I'd love to see him do well in this one. How do you see this game unfolding?
Yeah, following you a lot, John, tonight. I don't think Galway will be able to put a stop to Athlone. The way that Galway are going, I don't see them turning around anytime soon unless they get players in. Of course, that hasn't happened yet. And unless John Caulfield had them out every single day running down the beaches and the whole lot, I just don't see how, you know, they're so nearly inept going forward. They're all right at the back, but they can't seem to be able to get on top of teams and dominate them and you know.
I don't think they're great at the back, Gary, neither.
No, definitely not great at the back.
No.
Yeah, but they're still sticking in games. You know what I mean? Like I know they got pumped by Shells and all that, but you know that's Shells. They're probably going to keep on going and run away with the league. But they're just so poor going forward. Like I don't think Athlone will have too much concern at the back for this game. John Caulfield needs some positive. He needs points on the board, and a draw for Galway would be a great result. And they're at home. Really mad to say. So, look, I think I'm not going to follow you fully, John. I think 1-0 Athlone will do the business for them.
Yeah, I'm actually going to follow John. I'm going to go 2-1 to Athlone because Galway, they're not great at the back at all. They've conceded 13 goals in the 10 games. They have managed to score 14 in their 10 games, but they're just not doing enough in attack, as you alluded to, Gary. Athlone are just slightly outscoring them. So, in terms of the actual figures, there's not a huge amount between them, and it's actually hard to believe. There's only 3 points between them in the table as well. But you'll remember Athlone gave Galway a right going over early on in the season. They were, what, 3 up after 30 minutes or something like that. So we know Athlone have the firepower to blow teams away. And I think Galway are they're just too bitty at the moment. There's nothing cohesive about them. We know Athlone are leaky at the back as well. That's why I don't see them keeping a clean sheet here like Gary's predicted. So I do think Athlone, after the break, they'll be freshened up. They'll just have a little bit too much in attack for Galway. I think they'll win 2-1.
Who's going to score for Galway? It's going to be probably the keeper has as good a chance of scoring as anyone else.
Jeez, that's harsh.
It took a word, they're being dug out in injury time in a few games, either draws or late winners. You know, a late winner against Wexford.
A lot of their goals this season too has come from, we mentioned it earlier in the season, didn't we? A lot of direct long balls, long throw-ins at low and have been leaky at the back. How will they deal with that? I think Galway might just manage just to scrape one into the net somewhere along the way, but I still think at low and just as a team, you can see at low's plan. We've mentioned it before, their defending does undo them at times, but in terms of being on the ball, they've got really good quality. They're really good to watch. You can't say that about this Galway team at the minute, so I think Athlone just have that little bit too much and they'll run out 2-1 winners. So, look, as I said, let's take a break from ourselves for a couple of moments and bring you back-to-back interviews now with a couple of men that will have a close eye on this one. James Doona, he'll, of course, be playing for Athlone Town. And I think on commentary this weekend might be Vinnie Faherty. He's certainly been on commentary for a few games this season. So let's hear from both of those men now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Now, if you listen to last week's show, we were talking Galway United quite a bit on the show because they've had a disappointing start to the season. I'm delighted to be joined by a Galway legend, Vinnie Fatterley, joins us now on the show. Vinnie, you're keeping yourself busy with a bit of commentary work as well.
I am, Kieran, I am. Thanks for having me. It's been great to, I suppose, be able to go to games. Obviously, it's great to be able to watch the stream, but it's a lot better there in person. You can't beat live football. So I'm lucky that, I suppose, I can substitute in with the commentary and get into the ground. So, no, it's, yeah. It's been an experience. It's not as easy as I think. It looks a lot easier from the outside. But, yeah, it's tricky enough. You have to watch what you say a lot.
Yeah, you might give me a few tips for the weekend. I'm doing the Longford game at the weekend, so you might give me a few tips. But look, it looks like fans are coming back this weekend as well, so that's going to be fantastic. And Galway have Athlone as well, so it adds a little bit of spice to the local derby as well.
Yeah, you look, it's great to have fans back, even, that I know it's only 100, but it certainly does make a difference. It's a huge game for Galway. It's a huge game for Athlone too, because I suppose their form has been a bit patchy, so it'll be a tough one. Athlone are as competitive as they've been in probably close to a decade since they've been in the Premier, really.
Well, they gave Galway a good going over in the first meeting, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And Galway will definitely want to, they got caught in the hop a little bit that night. I think, everyone knew Athlone were a lot stronger, but that was certainly a surprise result for Galway. And for the first time in a long time, it's going to be, a very even and spicy affair in Terryland.
As I said in the intro there, we were discussing Galway a lot on the show last week, and my two co-hosts in particular, Gary and John, were very, I suppose, strong on their opinions on Galway. We were given grades last week for mid-season report cards type of thing, and they both gave Galway Fs. And they were just mentioning John Caulfield, and they felt that maybe he's under a little bit of pressure. Now, my opinion is that it's a longer-term project at Galway, and that's why a man like him was appointed. I think that they're going to give him time to put his own stamp on things. And I know he's been speaking in the local press as well about the upcoming July market, that there'll probably be a lot of movement there. So what have you made of everything that's gone on at the start of the season at Galway? It's definitely been an underwhelming start.
To be completely honest, it has. John has said that himself in interviews. Bit surprised, I think they've added well. He clearly wanted speed in his front line, and he got that in spades. It's a really good coaching ticket they have. And John last year when he came in was brilliant. Sessions were brilliant, kept things simple, kind of more the same of what you'd seen from John at Cork. So I'm a little bit surprised. Well, not a little bit. I'm very surprised that it hasn't gone better. I do be talking to some of the guys from the team, but I don't really inquire too much about, I don't really ask Anton personal or Anton, because I suppose I know what it's like as a player, and you don't want to be telling, even if you trust the people you're talking to, you don't really want to be you talking about that. So I don't put anyone in that position. So I can't really be honest. I don't really know what's happening, but I'd imagine training is still very intense, very sharp. John lets you know what he wants and what he demands. So, yeah, I can't really put my finger on it. It's just been a bit of a mixed bag. They've come out, the second half against Cork, they were excellent. And I actually thought that was a defining moment. I thought, they're going to kick on here. And I actually thought they might beat Shells. And then they go and lose 4-0. So it's been a very tough start for them. But I definitely don't think he's under pressure. I think it is a longer-term project. And I think that, I suppose, the beauty of the First Division is you're always in contention for the playoffs. So, and anything can happen then,
Yeah, well, look, that's the point I made last week. I mean, Longford lost their last three games last season and fell into the playoffs and somehow ended up in the Premier. So there's nothing to say Galway won't finish fifth this season and somehow find form just in time and get promoted. But I suppose there will have to be an improvement, though, come July, if there is a bit of business been done and there's more money been spent. That's a full-time operation at Galway, so the pressure will be very much on. Anything other than a playoff place would be totally unacceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but again, I think that would be John's own assessment of it too. The club want to be back in the Premier. That's where everyone wants to be. I think, they push the structures in place to get back there. But it doesn't happen overnight. They have a lot of new faces. And, you know, you alluded there to the playoffs. And, you know, if there's any man that, you know, knows how to win cup finals and knows how to produce in big moments, you know, there's no one with more experience in that division than John. So, you know, it didn't work out for us last year. I think in the bowl, he really, I mean, that was a very impressive performance from Longford. It was the best I've seen him play all last season. You know, we'd beaten you a few weeks previous, really steamrolled you in the second half. I think it ended up 6-2 or something. Now we weren't smelling ourselves, you know, we knew it was going to be a tough game, but he really, I suppose, showed up and blew us out of the water a little bit. But,
you know, you'd like to think, though, if Galway get into the playoffs this year, that experience might stand to them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to allude to. And also, like, you know, we had come off the back of a, you know, a really positive run. And you're always going to have a few bumps in the road. And unfortunately, it happened in the playoff final for us. It just didn't click. But, you know, I do think that they're probably building too for a strong finish. They obviously would prefer to be in, you know, closer to Shelburne and in a position to maybe go and challenge for the league. That's probably more than likely out of the equation now, barring, you know, a crazy run of form. But, you know, I think they will be building to have a strong into the season. And, look, this is the time where it's great having a great start to the season, but now is the time you need to be hitting form, and hopefully that will be the case at Galway now.
And look, obviously you've seen a lot of Galway. How would you describe their style of play under John Caulfield?
I think that's probably what's probably what's catching them a little bit is it seems like they want to play an attack, a counter-attacking game. They've speed in the final third, you know, every single position, you know, number 10, striker, wingers, everyone has an abundance of pace. And teams are sitting in against them a little bit. They're not getting the opportunities. Like last year, we were able to break and we probably didn't have the players to do it. This year, they have the players, but teams seem to be sitting back, you know, inviting them on. And I suppose some of the personnel, it doesn't suit them. They're better going the other way.
I suppose critics there would say that that's a negative approach from Galway.
Yeah, but I suppose like you look at like Real Madrid this year, you know, Real Madrid won 3 Champions Leagues. They barely kicked the ball. They weren't the best team in Spain. They weren't the best team in Europe. All they did is counterattack, waited for teams to make a mistake and hit them on the break. So I don't see it as negative. I definitely think Galway, in most games, have the majority of the possession, but I think they'd prefer it in the personnel and the players they have. It would suit them more if teams came out a little bit. And I actually thought that's why they might catch Shelburne. Thought Shelburne might, you know, press them a little bit higher and Galway could catch them in behind. It didn't work out that way, but I'm sure, again, this is what they're working on now and they're reassessing. And, you know, some of the personnel they might bring in might reflect that too.
Yeah, no, look, I agree with you there. Like some of the most enjoyable football you can see is actually when teams play very well on the counter-attack, and Real Madrid are a great example of that. But as you said, when teams come and sit in, you have to then have the quality to mix your game up and get on the ball and break teams down. And maybe that's where Galway have just struggled this season.
Yeah, a little bit. I just think like, you know, it's not a criticism. You know, everyone in the league, and especially in the League of Ireland, you know, they're not going to be brilliant at every single aspect of the game. If they were, they'd be playing Champions League. and some of the players, it just suits them a little bit more when they can get in behind the fences, and that's their game, you know, stretching teams. You know, I think maybe they need more of a target man, a guy that can come to feet and link it a little bit more and get, you know, your Shane Duggins and your number 10s and, you know, your midfielders into the game a little bit more.
I suppose Lombotto would have been that target man, wouldn't he, only for the injury?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he definitely, like, you know, he came at the worst time because he came up, I think, 2 years ago when we were there and he was really raw. And then he came back a year later and he was a different player, different animal. And he was just progressing so quickly. You know, the coaching was like full-time football, you know, in every evening was suiting him so much. I really thought like he could, I still believe he, you know, if he comes back anywhere near where he was, he could go to England because he's just got everything. I've never seen a player as quick as him. He's strong. He's tall. He's got absolutely everything. And he's a really good fella too. And he wants to learn. So, but yeah, they are missing him. He's a bit of an X factor, even off the bench. He's so hard to deal with. He's just so quick.
I suppose the one thing that's been very uncharacteristic about this John Caulfield-led Galway team, they look leaky at the back. That's not something you'd associate with a Caulfield team.
Yeah, it was one thing he brought in last year when week came, he really tightened it up. And I'm sure he's working on it now. A lot of them, just individual errors, you know, it's just stuff that, you know, when you're playing, you know, even FIFA, you're going crazy at the controller. But I'm sure he's pulling his hair out at some of the mistakes. It's frustrating because it's players, you know, that have a lot of experience, you know, aren't typically making them. And I don't know if it's the expectation or the, you know, the, I suppose the pressure of maybe, you know, underperforming and, you know, not being where they should be or they need to be. I'm not sure because it's uncharacteristic from players, you know, out of position, you know, missing balls, you know, mistiming tackles. And it's not really a positional thing, but it's certainly a worry. And I suppose, again, something that they'll be working hard on this week and last week.
I suppose the fact John Caulfield's kind of put everyone on notice now that he is going to try and bring players in July. How would you have dealt with that as a player if you're in the dressing room and maybe you've made a couple of errors this season? Are you worried you're going to get shipped out, or is it a challenge to step up to the mark over the next couple of weeks and really prove yourself?
Yeah, look, to be honest with you, everyone, even the more experienced players in the dressing room, it's probably only a handful of guys that probably feel reasonably safe. Because if you're one of the more experienced guys, you're probably on a wage that reflects that, and you're probably not, you know, like, I mean, he might be looking to get rid of you to I suppose, to free up some wages. If you're one of the players or, you know, the less experienced guys that haven't been performing, then he might be just making room. Everyone's on notice. Yeah. Just like you said, but the only way to deal with it is to put the head down, work hard and show them, you know, I suppose with your performances that, you know, you're worthy of your place. You know, some of the players there have been there for a year and a half with John, and he'll be very aware of them. You know, he's not going to make any rash decisions. He's not going to, you know, cut off his nose to spite his face. He'll have, I'm sure, measure twice and cut once. And anyone he does bring in will be an addition. But yeah, everyone's under pressure, but that's the way it should be. You should always feel that because, you know, you should never be resting on your laurels and just expect that your position is safe, you know.
And look on yourself, finally, was there any chance of staying at Galway this year, or was that you done and dusted, you done your service?
I've been toying with it, to be honest, for probably a year or so. You know, I have a bit of a knee problem. I wasn't playing, obviously, as much as I'd like to. My body wasn't really doing the things I wanted it or needed it to do. And then on top of it, they were moving to full time, and that just wasn't going to work. So that it wasn't even something to contemplate. We all were meant to have meetings. Well, all the players did have meetings with John. I think a few days after the end of the season, but I spoke to John and I just told him, look, really appreciate everything, but you know, I'm hanging up the boots. And you know, I got on well with John. You know, he's a really good guy. He was always straight with me. Things just don't work out sometimes, but look, you know, no regrets from my side. It's a pity we didn't get promoted and you guys took that away from us, but would have been a nice way to go out. But look, that's football. You know, I've enjoyed it all, and it wasn't really Anton. There was no decision to make, to be honest.
Yeah, I enjoyed dumping you out of the Cup of Sligo as well. As I have to say, that was one of my your career highlights.
Yeah, that was a bad time for Sligo at the time, because there was a lot of pressure. And that was a you know, I suppose, and no disrespect to Longford, obviously, but Sligo would be expecting to go down there, especially when they were Premier Division and win. You know, big history in that cup. So that was a low moment in the dressing room after that. But you've given us a fair few. I've had a few bad moments up in Flankeagh or up in Longford. So it was nothing new to me.
Look, you got to see a bit of the world through football as well. So is that a kind of a personal highlight for you? You're in Cyprus. I think we spoke to you about that before on the show. And were you in New Zealand as well, or Australia?
Australia, yeah. No, I you know, I suppose it's the beauty of football is you can kind of go away. Cyprus was a funny one. Suppose my fiance with work was over there for a year, so I got the opportunity to go over and kind of just figured, look, I'll try and find a club, and it worked out, and it was a nice year away. But yeah, look, it was lovely to go and experience it in different cultures and different climates and meet different people. But yeah, look, like, you know, the best times I've had have always been in the League of Ireland. And I think some people don't appreciate, you know, what we have here. You know, you have entertaining quality football week in, week out. And I suppose that's the next thing now, is just getting the focus on that, I suppose, from the top down.
Yeah, I'd encourage our listeners to go back and find that old interview. It's a while back, but if you search for Vinnie Fatterty, your name should be in the title somewhere. There was some good stories from your Cyprus spell, so I definitely encourage people to listen back to that. And finally, you're playing a bit of junior ball now as well.
Yeah. I signed back with Sawtill. I suppose it was the club I joined Galway United from initially. Had a reasonable amount of success there. We were the first ever club to win the under-21 Dr. Tony O'Neill. Not really a trophy anymore, but it was probably the equivalent to the under-19s now, I suppose, yeah. A little bit. But we were the first non-League of Ireland club to win that ever. So, it was, I had great times at Sawtill, and it was, the obvious choice to go back. It's not only my old club, but it's the one that's closest to where I live. So, it was great. And, back with some of the lads I grew up playing with. So, delighted to be there.
Brilliant stuff. Look, Vinnie, been great chatting with you today. And I have to say, I've been watching a couple of the Galway games and I've enjoyed you on the comms as well. So keep up the good work and we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks a million, Kieran. Thank you.
For our latest podcast, video content and exclusive columns from Stephen Henderson, Conor Hoey and James Rogers, visit betweenthestripes.net.
Now, it's been a fine start to the season for Athlone Town. I'm delighted to be joining one of their standout players so far this season. That's James Duna joining us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. James, how are you keeping?
Yeah, good seeing you, Carl.
And you're speaking to us today from the clubhouse in Lizzie Woolen, getting set for training, obviously.
Yeah, just arrived there now, yeah. Get ready for training, so...
And great facilities there in Athlone now with the 3G pitch. You've got your own gym down there as well. What have you made of the setup down in Lizzie Woolen?
Yeah, it's great. Before I signed, I came down, I seen all, and I actually couldn't believe it, to be honest. The setup that they have their own gym and their own stadium and that, and there's a grass pitch now as well. So it has everything really, all you can ask for.
And look, as I said, it's been a fine start to the season for Athlone. I suppose they recruited quite well in the off season, and you were probably one of the more eye-catching ones as well, given the clubs you've been at in the past. What was it exactly that drew you down to Athlone?
To be honest, I met Graham and I chatted to the manager, Cabsy, before, and then he was saying to me the plan going forward and the project and a few of the players that he wanted, and it just excited me from the get-go, really. Obviously, I knew the players that he wanted, and then obviously if and when I signed, that could impact that even more then, and I had a feeling that we'd actually do well, and it was just more the fact of going out and playing football again, getting back fit, which I didn't really do much last year at Pat, so I just kind of needed to get back out there playing again, so it was more so just go and play and see where that took me.
I got the impression from speaking to you just briefly earlier on, you're really enjoying your football at Athlone. Is it fair to say maybe before that, towards the end of Pat's, as you said, you weren't playing too often, did you maybe lose a little bit of love for the game?
Yeah, it was kind of like, it was difficult last year. Last year was probably divorced. It's been obviously when the season got cut in half and for whatever reasons, not playing. And it came kind of mutual thing at Pat's where couldn't guarantee a game. So, and when I came down here, it was more of a fact of a free roll kind of for me. So it was like, listen, we know what you can do, go and play and you'll benefit from it and we'll benefit from you playing. So, it was kind of like, yeah, just a free roll, really.
Mm. I've actually spoken to a couple of players about that as well in regards to last year, players that were on the fringes of first teams. And the fact then that the cup competitions, the League Cup and the Leinster Senior Cup didn't take place, that obviously really limited opportunities for players that were on the outside. Is that something you found kind of really tough to take?
Yeah, it was kind of hard to take because obviously I went into, so not last season, the season before, I finished well. So I thought, have a good chance, signing back of a good chance of being one of the main players, like going for starting off, being one of the main players. And then obviously coronavirus happened and I couldn't get into the team. And then I was waiting for my chance in the cup and then all the cups obviously got cut. So it definitely, I played a part last year with no cups in this.
What have you met at the start of the season with Athlone? Because as I said, I suppose the fact you were able to recruit some more established players than the club has been able to do in the past. There was a slight expectation on Athlone this season, which is something they haven't had to deal with in recent years. But have you kind of noticed that expectation around the place, or are you just enjoying it, as you said?
Yeah, like, obviously, I think it's everyone can see that we are not title challengers, but we're going to be there about. And I think everybody kind of expected it with the players that we signed. But I think we all kind of caught ourselves a bit surprised with the start that we had, obviously, beating Galway, beating Cork, beating Bray. Like, we went off flying, but we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, because the aim, I think, this season was playoffs, in and around playoffs, and we're all happy days. Like, but I think people then kind of got caught up when Jesus Christ is coming in the league here. And then obviously we got three bad results on the bounce, and everybody's like, oh, they're at the dropping off, the fall, and it's back to the normal that long. Where I think we're all in this camp, and anyways, I know that we're all right settled. We're happy with third place before the first round of games. Like, so I think it's kind of, it's mixed, yeah. It's like, you can see there's a bit of pressure on, but I think more than likely we're just all chilled out, kind of really taking the game by game.
Look, as you said, you're banging the playoff picture there at the minute. And aside from that as well, Athlone are playing really good attacking and entertaining football. There's an awful lot of goals in your games. I'm sure your manager might like to tighten up at the back in the second half of the season now. But in terms of going forward, there's loads of goal threats in the team, including yourself, obviously.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, the game on Friday was unbelievable against UCD. It was literally one of the best games I've ever played, and it was literally they'd attack, we'd attack. With a 2-0 up, there was everything in the game, yellow cards, red cards. It was a great game. But that's what we, every game we play, like, we create chances after chances after chances. Like, and I think teams, we kind of cut teams out with that. Like, we were so attacking and counter-attack, whether it's counter-attack or normal, like, we just create so much chances. Obviously, it's a joy to play in the team. And with Wixie, Cordis, whether it's Meany, Barnsley, like, we all just want to score goals and go out and play. Like,
yeah, we were discussing that game last week on the show. I actually said it kind of reminded me of a really high-class game of five-a-side, because there was just so much space on the pitch for both teams every time you got on the ball.
Literally, I thought, like, in the first few minutes, we were 2-0 up. We hit the crossbar. I was like, we'll hit this for a good 4 or 5 goals here. And then next of all, we're 2-1, 2-all, and then it's anybody's game. It could have went either way then. There was just chances. I'd actually love to know how many chances in the whole game.
Yeah, I did say that as well. I think you were really on top of 2-0, and I said creating chances and carving out chances. If you got the third, it's probably game over in truth. So despite the fact it was a great game to play in, there must be a slight hint of frustration there that it got away from you as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I thought we were going to hit them. I definitely think if we would have scored another goal, we would have went on to beat them comfortable, to be honest. And the same, even when they went down to 10 men, we kind of got back on top again. I was like, we'll deal with them here. And then obviously we went down to 10 men, and it kind of went anybody's game. And I kind of had a feeling that someone was going to nick it, whether it was us or them. We just knew. And then obviously they nick it. It's disappointing for us. It wrecked me all week, to be honest.
We did say that as well last week, that if there was going to be a 5-goal thriller in the first division that weekend, it was definitely going to be that game. Two teams that just love to score goals. But look, you've got Galway this weekend. That's a local derby, I suppose. And Galway, they're really under the cosh at the minute. They're under pressure coming into this game because they've had a poor start given all the investment and the full-time setup and everything. So you must be licking your lips. It's a great way to restart. And I'm not sure if there'll be fans in for this one or not, but if there is, it adds to the occasion as well.
Yeah, definitely. I thought, to be honest, I always expect them more than myself. When we played them down here in the first game, similar enough, we were 3-0 up after 25 minutes, and I kind of knew, like, the game was over and it could have been more. Now I know, obviously, it finished 3-1, but the amount of chances we created as well. I think they played a 5 at the back against us in the first game. I don't think they'll play that again. I don't think, yeah, because we just got too much out of them. So, well, I'm hoping that anyways it's the same. Friday, but yeah, it's a good game to get back into. Hopefully we can make a win.
And obviously this is your first experience of the first division. It just looks a really competitive and really good league this year, with so many big players kind of going down into the first division. But what have you made of the standard of it, and did it take you time to adjust to it, do you think, or was it okay enough to kind of find your feet?
Like, no, it's not like, I never really like thought I'd be playing first division or whatever. Like, I never played into that, and obviously I was at Rovers and Pats, were two very good sides. Like, so, like, when we'd play, say, some of the first teams, in the cup, first division teams, it's look more like we should be winning, like. But when I came down here and then I'm looking at the fixture, I'm like, Jesus, hard game, hard game, hard game. Every game in it is tough, like. So obviously it took me by surprise because how tough the games are. And but the standard's very good as well. And as you said, like, there's lots of forced Premier Division players that are dropping down this year. So it's a tough league, very tough league.
Mm. As I said, it looks like a lot of Premier clubs today are announcing that they'll have spectators back this weekend. I'm not sure what the case will be with some of the games in the First Division, but I assume it'll be the same thing. But you obviously haven't met the Athlone fans yet. So when the chance does come around to play in front of your own fans, I'm sure you're really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, obviously, as you said, it's been a weird year, like, with no fans. And down, even down at Athlone, down to the Stewarts, and anybody let you in, they love the club, like, they're very passionate. So I can only imagine when there's, whether it's 200 fans or just any amount of fans in the stadium, it should be good, like. And obviously, because we're down a good start, they'd be right behind us, so I can't wait for that.
Mm. Like, it has been quite a few years since, I suppose, Athlone have been prominent in Irish football, but you're sitting in the clubhouse there, you only have to look around on the walls to see all the history, and you've played for two massive Dublin clubs. But do you sense the kind of, it is a big club, maybe a bit of a sleeping giant that you're representing every time you go out?
Definitely. Like, when I came down straight away, I was like, it just, like, it reminded me of Dundalk years ago when they obviously fell off and they've got a few players done well. And now look at Dundalk, like, it's very similar down here with the fans. They are passionate, obviously, and when you're winning, it helps bring them back out. But it's just a similar kind of setups. Well, it definitely has all the tools and all the setup down here to kick on.
Yeah, well, look, hopefully you will kick on in the second half of the season, sitting third at the minute, and I'm sure a lot of people would love to see Athlone have a really good run, at least into the playoffs. So look, James, it's great to see you enjoying your football. Thanks very much for speaking to us, and we'll chat again soon.
No, well, thank you.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes. Keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news and updates by following us on social media. Search for Between the Stripes on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, great to hear from the two lads there. Let's move on. UCD against Cove. Gary, go to you first.
Yeah, look, good game for UCD. Good opportunity to get a few more goals on into the goals for a column for them. Home game, first game after the break. I don't see them stopping at all. It's going to be one-way traffic in this game, and 3-0 UCD. I don't think Cove have shown anything in the games. I know they had a good result against Cork before the break, but UCD are a different kettle of fish altogether, and 3-0 for me.
Yeah, look, I'm not even going to add anything there. I totally agree with you on that. Big fan of this UCD team, as we all know. So, John, just a final word from yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to copy and paste Gary, I'm afraid. 3-0 UCD as well.
We pride ourselves on in-depth match previews here between the Stripes and Live podcast, but that certainly wasn't one of our more tactical and analytical previews, to say the least. But I think we're all firm believers UCD will have a big win this weekend. So followers of the students will have enjoyed that preview nonetheless. Let's move on. Braig and Shells, a Braig team that, again, we were probably quite critical of last week on our mid-season show. And Shells, they're just starting to pull away a little bit at the top now. They've got a 5-point lead at the top. So we'll go to Mr. Breyer first. He loves the Shells, as we know. So are they going to extend their lead at the top, John?
I think so, yeah, because Bray are having trouble this season, aren't they? They can't score enough goals, I'm afraid. And I can't see that changing against Shells, who are starting to really look the deal. So I'm going to go for an away win. I think it'll be tight. I think it could be just by a goal, maybe. 1-0 Shells.
Fair enough. Look, Bray's home record this season is absolutely atrocious. They are eighth in the table. Now, they've only played four, where some teams have played six, but from their four home games, they've only won one of those. and they've drawn a couple as well. And as Gary said on the show last week, draws early on in the season was their issue, and they're just not scoring enough goals at all, Bray, are they? They've only, what have they scored so far this season? Let's have a quick look here. They've got 11 in their 10 games. They've only conceded 9 as well. So if they could just find a way to start scoring more goals, they would turn those draws into wins, but it's just not happening at the moment. They're going up against a Shell side now who must be high on confidence, moving through the gears. As I said, Bray's record at home isn't great. Shells have the second best away record in the league, so I can only see one result here. That's an away win. I'm going to go 2-0 Shells.
Yeah, don't disagree with any of that, Kieran. 2-0 for me as well. I just think Shells are going to keep motoring on and put a stop. Well, not that they need to put a stop to Bray. I don't think Bray will get going at all, and they won't lay a glove on Shells in this game. Probably going to add a bit more pressure to Gary Cronin down in Bray.
Do you think he's got? They're sticking with him, aren't they? And, you know, they must have wanted a better season after they finished so close last season. But it's just not happening down there. Do you think he's on a bit of borrowed time?
I'll leave that to you, Gary. Go on, because I think you're the one.
All right,
you're the one. No, I'll come in with my point of view in a second, but you're the one that brought the point up that he might be under pressure. So go on, you can tell us a bit more.
Well, I just think that, you know, after the highs last season, they haven't kicked on. They've not only kicked on, they've really regressed from where they were last year. And, you know, even the way that they kind of stumbled, you know, they fell at the first hurdle in the playoffs after just being pipped to the league last year, and then to turn around, and if this is their, you know, what they have to show for their first, you know, 10 games or so in the first division, it's just not good enough. And I don't think, you know, how long can this keep on going? I'm not saying that, you know, he needs to go or anything like that, but I'm just saying there doesn't seem to be a reprieve coming for Bray at all.
My point here would be, what would the chairman, what would he have said to Gary Cronin before the start of the season? What would the goal have been? It would have been, we'd love you to go one step further and win the title this year, but we understand that Shells are coming down with a massive budget. Galway, we all thought were going to, you know, they've gone full time. So again, they're going to be right up there. There was other teams that were in the mix. You didn't know what type of Cork team was coming down. So you would have said, look, we want you to kick on and be in the mix again. But getting the playoffs is the most important thing. Now, at the moment, they're outside the playoff places. But I think we'd all put good money on them being in the playoffs at the end of the season. As we said last week with Galway, just like Longford last year, once you're in the playoffs, you can win. So maybe go one step
further. Yeah, but they're not even close.
What do you mean they're not even close?
They aren't even close.
They're on 14.
No, but they're not even close.
They're a point off the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're not even close to Shells. They're a million miles away from Shells. I'm not saying that's... But if you want to get on with it, you can't be, you know, rooting around the middle of the table. They're miles off the
pitch. But that's what Longford did last year. Longford finished fourth and got promoted.
Yeah, and we can all look back on that now, but we weren't saying that 12 months ago.
But
nothing 12 months ago because there was no football on. But my point is, in the middle of last season, we weren't just going, ah, yeah, Graham, we'll get into the playoffs. We fell into the playoffs and, you know, the team proved us wrong. We all talked about momentum into the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. But sure, we don't know what we're talking about. My point is that Bray have turned a corner, turned completely backwards, and they're not even close to Shelburne. I'm not saying that they need to be neck and neck with them and fighting it out at the top of the table. Shells have, you know, all the budget and brought players in and all that stuff, and fair play to them for that. But Bray aren't even within an ass's roar of them. That's what I'm saying.
They're 5 points off second, Bray. And they've drawn an awful lot of games.
Yeah,
as I said, if they can start scoring more goals, they'll turn those draws into win. Next thing, they will be second or third in the league. Yeah. And that'll be the goal achieved of qualifying for the playoffs.
There's a lot of ifs here, Kieran, that suddenly start scoring a load of goals, suddenly start winning instead of drawing. You know, where do you think this turnaround's going to come from?
They'll be in the playoffs. I'll put my money on it now. They'll be in the playoffs, Bray. And
you're going out on a limb there, Kieran.
Once they're in the playoffs, that's the job achieved. We'll see how they get on in the playoffs. You're going on about Gary Cronin being under pressure. What difference would it make if they sacked him? Is that going to magically have them up there where Shells are? No. So I don't really understand the kind of the suggestion that the manager's under pressure there, because I just don't see it.
He's
under pressure to get them into the playoffs, no doubt about it, but he'll achieve that. So that'll be job done, and we'll see how he gets on in the playoffs. And then I'm sure at the end of the year, they'll make a decision over overall how the season went. But at this stage, I don't think he's under pressure.
He's under big pressure. They'll have expected a title challenge at Bray. They'd expect them to be a lot nearer Shells than they are. So looking at last season, they're miles off where they were. Gary's dead right. They've regressed. He is under pressure, Kieran.
He's got a good chairman there, from what I can see. Yeah. I don't think he's under that type of pressure.
Yeah, but like what if you were a Bray fan, Kieran? Oh, you probably are a Bray fan. But what
one of the few I don't support.
What are you look? Yeah, like what are you expecting from Bray? Oh, could fall into the playoffs, get into the playoffs, and that's it. Half the league gets into the playoffs, man. Like that can't be the measure of success for a team that got so close last year.
It wasn't the goal for this season. The goal was to be in a title race. That's not going to happen now. So you look to plan B. Plan B is to get into the playoffs and then be in with a shot of getting into the Premier. So I think we'll judge Gary Cronin when they eventually qualify for the playoffs, and we'll see how he gets on, and then a decision will be made at the end of the year whether it's been a good year or a bad year for Bray. I think at this stage of the season, to be suggesting he's under pressure after 10 games when they're only 5 points off second, I think that's very, very harsh.
Right, so hold on. If we go back to John Caulfield, is he under pressure? Kieran.
You put me up against a brick wall here. He's working with a full-time setup, but he's only new into that job as well. He came in last season, he turned things around, so he showed what he can do. We expected them to be higher up in the league. But again, I said it last week, if they get into the playoffs, they could qualify for the Premier Division next season, and everyone will forget about this awful start to the season Galway have had. He obviously wants to do a bit of the business in July now. He's going to get time there, so maybe outsiders think, because of the start of the season Galway have had, maybe Caulfield's under pressure. From within the club, I don't see him being under pressure there. And I think the same with Gary Cronin. So that's the best way I can explain it.
All right. So no one's under pressure. Everyone's having a great time.
I don't think we're going to get an agreement on that one. So we'll recap our predictions. I've gone 2-0 for Shells. John goes 1-0 Shells. And Gary goes 2-0 Shells. But interesting debate nonetheless. Let's move on. Cork against Cavintilly. I suppose you're going to tell me both of these managers are up for the chop as well. I'll go to you first.
No.
No pressure on these two managers, I don't think. So we know what they're working with at Cork, and Cavintilly. They expect to, they do really well every year to compete with the budget that they have. So I don't think there's any pressure down here. Not like the pressure that's on Gary Cronin, anyway. That's for sure. So Cork will be absolutely wounded by that defeat in the Derby to Cove, and they'll be looking to bounce back, whether or not they've got the quality. But at home to Cabo, I'd certainly think Cork can get something out of this. I'm going to go 1-0. It'd been nonsense a couple of years ago. I know you keep telling me, don't go on reputation, but surely Cork will win this one. 1-0.
Gary, you might have a better memory than me. A couple of years ago, didn't they meet in the Cup? And I think Cork got a late goal to bring it to a replay, didn't they, in the FAI Cup up in Stradbroke? Almost certain I'm right in saying. I'm sure we've got a couple of listeners that can recall that one, but
I think you're right. No, I can't fully remember, but I remember it being talked about. But no one was under,
or they might have won on penalty
pressure
might,
then either, and no one's under pressure now either.
They might have won on penalties actually, but
for this game.
Go on, sorry. Huh? I think they might have won on penalties. I was just saying that night actually. I think Cork, but go ahead, go on.
Yeah, no, I don't see Cork winning this. They're wounded from last time out, but
bad defeat for Cabo against Wexford last time, though.
Yeah, I know, but Wexford are, Ian Ryan has come in there and changed a good few things, and the results have been turning for them since he came in nearly.
Oh, they'd want to be, or he'd be under pressure too.
Would you stop?
Look, I don't know what you're talking about, lad, at all. I think, the way Cork are going, I've said it many times, they're going to settle in now for a good stint in the First Division. Probably be a 1-1 draw here. I think Cabo are running all right.
Yeah.
For where they are. And Colin Healy will live to fight another day.
I'm going to agree with John on this one. I think it'll be 1-0. Cork will have a good crowd in for this one. Should edge the players on a little bit. They didn't take their chances against Cove. They'll be very annoyed with how they lost that game. Cabo had that bad defeat against Wexford where they thoroughly deserved to lose that game. But I do agree with Gary. They've been running okay this season. They're currently in the playoff places, so they could do with a result here if they want to stay in the mix. Cork here, a win, what would that move them on to? Move them on to 12 points. That would still leave them only three off the playoffs. I don't see Cork being in the playoff mix at all, but it's a big game for both teams, but I think Cork will come out on top 1-0. Final game to discuss, chaps. It's Wexford against Treaty. Gary, you're a big Ian Ryan fan, so I'll go to you first.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I think, you know, it's a huge test for Wexford at home, and you know, there's an extra couple of weeks there where Ian Ryan has got his teeth into the players and, you know, seeing what he is available to him and different things that he can try, and he's had a good bit of time to look at that. And it'll be a tough test for Treaty. It's their first time going down there, down to Ferry Carrig, wide open place, and you know, not the best place to go. So it'll be an interesting game. I think, though, Wexford will be buoyed by, you know, the first win of the season. Good result against Cabo. Still think, though, that Treaty are a different kettle of fish, and I think Treaty will just come out 2-1 winners, but it'll be a very tough game for them.
John, how do you see this one playing out?
I can't suggest much different on this one. I think, yeah, Wexford will, of course, be buoyed by that result against Cabo, but, yeah, Treaty would be... Yeah, I think they're a little more consistent, and I think they'll get the 3 points here. But again, it'll be close. 1-0 I'm going for.
1-0 to Treaty. I think Wexford will get something from this. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I think it'll be a big challenge for Wexford, no doubt, but they'll be buoyed after that win and a really good performance in Stradbroke, such a tough place to go. And Cabo, as we know, a really physical side. Treaty are the same, even though Treaty play some really nice football as well, but they're a big side. Very dangerous from set pieces. So that's probably how I see them getting a route into this game, and that's how they might get a foothold. But we've seen the likes of Jack Doherty really come to his best the last day. I think that's someone that Ian Ryan can build his attack around. He'll have to work on the defence, as we know. They've been leaking goals this season. Obviously, they haven't been scoring goals either, but they created more chances in that game against Cabinteely than they probably did in all their games combined this season. So that was it's been a good start for the new manager. I think he can keep that momentum going, having had an extra week now and maybe a little bit more. He probably had them in for extra sessions just to get more familiar with the team and get everyone working off the same page. So I think Wexford are going to certainly be on the up. I hope they will be. I hope we'll see some more positive results after that slow start. I think they'll get something here. I'm going to go 1-1. And silence. Well, I love a nice bit of silence just to round it off after what's been a debate-filled show, lads. A bit of silence at the end was nice there to round it off. I've enjoyed that. It's one of our more snappy shows, but we'll be back, of course, next week with full reviews of all 10 games in both divisions. And we'll have loads of interviews again next week. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of arguments and rows on next week's show as well. So I hope you enjoyed it, man.
I certainly did, yeah.
Good. Yeah, certainly did. Thank you.
Yeah, and the Euro starting on Friday as well. Ireland now 0-0 with a couple of minutes to play here against Hungary. So who do we think is going to win the Euros?
Coming to me first. I find it difficult to look past France at the moment.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say England.
I'm not going to mention anything coming home or anything like that. Yeah, although they are re-releasing that single, funnily enough, as they do at every tournament. I think France. I mean, you can't really look past France, Portugal, to an extent, Belgium, I suppose. Yeah, probably France for me.
You didn't get a gig in the Paddy Power advert either, John. I thought you might get in there with Dunphy.
No, I wasn't there. The profile's not high enough. I'll have to get a transfer onto a different podcast or something.
Oh, see, if they filmed it in Chels, he would have been there.
Oh, I would have been there, absolutely.
With bells on. Just on Chels, actually, I'm sure you've both seen as well that the Save Talca Park campaign. We were due to have someone on from the group today to give us their side of things, but they were just unavailable. So we might actually get them next week. And we have a couple of nice interviews lined up over the next while as well. So definitely worth sticking about for. Gary, who do you see winning the Euros?
Germany.
Yes.
I think yes. Timo Werner is going to turn it around and
he'd be offside more times than I've opted in.
I think you know, I've watched a lot of him. I watched a good bit of Bundesliga, and I know he hasn't.
Oh, look at me!
The best season, but he's also had, you know, what?
The big one.
The Bundesliga.
Yeah,
I think I think he has great ability, and he's got a lot of assists this season. I think he's got 12 at the end. And Champions League winner as well. So I think he's going to bang them in, end up with the golden boot. And I think Germany will just have too much class, which is across probably all areas of the pitch.
You'd get a good price on that. But I was actually just saying before the game where they hammered Latvia last night, and the boy Jarkovskis from Dundalk had a rough night, didn't he? 7-1 defeat. But I was just looking at their starting 11 and I said, pound for pound, that's probably the best starting 11 you get in the tournament. Now, they do have to come out of the group of death, of course, with Portugal and France. But if they get through that group, sure, you'd have to give them a chance. And I think they're a really good price to win it as well. So I actually think Germany have a really good shout. So looking forward to that getting underway on Friday. But of course, it will be all eyes on the League of Ireland this coming Friday night. And we'll be back to discuss everything that happens across the course of the weekend next week. So as ever, keep an eye out on our social channels for our latest podcasts, videos, news, updates, tweets, all the rest. You know it by now. Our website is betweenthestripes.net. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to it. And make sure you spread the word as well, because we always love to get new listeners on board. But really enjoyed tonight's show, lads. Thanks very much for joining me, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.